Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the second Sunday of Advent. We want to extend especially a warm welcome to our visitors and the choir, the Catalinas, that are here from Canby High School with their director, Brooks Gingrich. We're looking forward to their music this morning. They were practicing earlier, so it sounded like they were three times as big as they are, so I've already heard angelic voices this morning. If you're a visitor, we just invite you to fill out a visitor card that is there in the pew, and you can drop that in the offering basket later so we can know of your visit here with us this morning. Let's take a moment and stand and greet those around you this morning. For our call to worship this morning, I'm going to read from the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 12. Very soon now, I shall be with you again. I am the bright star of the morning. Isn't it strange how the Bible ends? Not like a mystery, with the criminal revealed and the riddle solved. Not like a symphony or a musical with the grand finale. The Bible ends by not ending. It ends in anticipation, with the faithful, God's people, waiting. Jesus is saying in Revelation, very soon now, I shall be with you, the bright star of the morning. What kind of ending is that? In a way, it seems unfair. 67 books of the Bible and a couple thousand years, and we're still waiting? Except that this is what it means to be people of faith. To be waiting and watching, hoping and listening for God. It's called fiercely waiting. It means that you haven't given up. You haven't decided cynically that it all amounts to nothing and why bother anyhow. You're still waiting. Are you fiercely waiting? Because the great thing is, if you are, you will have an excellent chance of seeing Jesus, the bright morning star, the pre-dawn pulse of promise for those who awake and watch. Will you pray with me? Lord, in December darkness, we wait for the one who is coming. And we ask that you would help us to listen deep, listen with our eyes and our ears, listen with our hearts, to angel whispers and voices in dreams, to love hidden in the stillness of a star-filled night. We listen deep for a peace that doesn't come wrapped in a box, We listen with longing in our hearts. We listen for the echoes of God's love. Jesus, come. Amen. I'm going to read from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to invite you to stand as I read and remain standing then for our first song. Please stand. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteousness flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. Let's begin our singing time.
Turn to number 3 in the purple book, number 3.
Please turn to 172, and could you guys actually stand again and join us on this whole chant? Verse 1, 3, and 6, would you guys do the solo and chorus? Verse 2 is going to be a solo, and verse 5 will be a solo from the heavens. I hear it's in the join us on 1, 3, and 6.
Thank you.
our ushers please come forward this morning for our morning offering? Let's pray together. God of great gifts and great love, as we await the birth of your Son in joy and hope, may our gratitude be reflected in these gifts we give. Because of our generosity, might others know of the babe born in a manger and in our hearts anew. Amen. Please join me for our prayer of confession and then prayer of assurance. I will read the leader part. You will read the people. Holy and loving God, we have dwelt in darkness and preferred it to the light. Open a path in the wilderness of our lives that we might find our way to you again. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Amen. I want to invite the children to come up front over on this side of the stage this morning for the children's story.
Singing over and over and over the song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We sang it last week. You know that one? It goes, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Over and over and over every day. Well, and that's just a fancy way to say We're expecting you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. So the words focused on God choosing to send his son, Jesus, into the world. For he loved the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus, so that anyone that believes him and trusts him and relies on him will live with him forever. So that makes it all about Christmas, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is that pleasant?
Christmas is 21 days.
It is, 21 days from now, right? Yeah, and you're expecting that, aren't you? We're going to talk about that word expecting today. Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What? Well, it means you're waiting for something with hope that you think is likely to happen, right? You're looking forward to something. Well, did you know that even before the very first Christmas, wise and good people all over the world were waiting and hoping and expecting for the coming of a great person who would bring good to the world? So just an example of that would be the three wise men, right? They were waiting and expecting and watching for a great person to come who they thought would be a powerful king. So do you think they expected him to find him in a barn?
No.
No. With the sheep and the shepherds? No. So today we're actually going to watch a story, a short video called An Unexpected Christmas. So before I give too much of that away, I think we'll just stay up here because we have lots of room, and we'll watch it together up here.
Have you ever wondered what we might see if we could pull back the curtain of time to that very first Christmas? If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking over heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things people were doing down on Earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had in mind when I created Earth. I feel so far away from my kids down there.
Why?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't like what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lloyd?
Time for us to step in.
Shall I ready the army, Lloyd?
No, I don't think we should send an army. We need one person.
One person? Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
Lloyd, if we're just sending one person, we'll have to be very strong and very powerful, because there's tons of people down there.
No, you won't have to be strong. You'll just send one baby.
A newborn baby? Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
Lord, this plan is rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler or mighty king.
Actually, I was thinking of send him to a peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
A peasant girl! Brilliant, they won't be expecting that.
My lord, I see your plan is to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby, born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
The Prince of Heaven?
Lord, this is too risky. Sending the Prince of Heaven in disguise as a tiny baby, born not the king but the humble villagers, surely he should not be born in a cottage. He should be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
Phew!
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals? Filled with hay? Filled with manure? Brilliant.
Lord, how will they know that he's there? What if they don't notice?
Those who are looking will find him, and his mission will be to bring all people closer to me. even if they do something really wrong. When the prince is done, nothing will get in between them and my love.
Can you leave some clues for the people looking, like in the stars?
Clues in the stars?
Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to him.
We're done. I just can't get this in here. Okay, you guys, we'll just take one of these back and they'll remind you. It'll remind you this week of the story we saw.
Yeah. Turn the page to numbers 178 in the blue book.
178.
Romans 15, verses 9 through 13 from the Message. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, Then I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. Outsiders and insiders rejoice together. People of all nations celebrate God. All colors and races give hearty praise. And Isaiah's word, there's the root of our ancestor Jesse, breaking through the earth and growing tree tall, tall enough for everyone everywhere to see and take hope. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. I would like to invite the Catalinas to come forward as we continue in our worship at this time with Brooks Gingrich.
Oh.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the beautiful music. I'm going to read from Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. I'm going to invite you to stand. You've been sitting for a while, so stand if you're able. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. For he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. You may be seated. Matthew, come and share.
Thank you. We've already had a powerful message in the music of the truth, the beauty, and the goodness that are in God through the wonderful arts and talents shared with us. It was a special delight among all those wonderful singers to hear two of ours during O Come, O Come, Emmanuel singing solos to Tristan and Harrison. Thank you to you all. The following very short story is not true, but I wish it were. The other day, I said to somebody at the barn that I was having a hard time coming up with anything new to say about these Advent Christmas season Bible passages this year, especially the one that you just heard about the wolf lying down with the lamb and the leopard with the goat and the lion eating straw like an ox. I had just tossed some hay into Tess's stall, and Tess is my horse, or actually I'm her human. And I had just picked up my saddle and I was taking it to the tack room when I overheard a voice saying, "You know those four-legged creatures? Those are mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11, right?" "Yes," I replied as I continued lugging my saddle toward the tack room. "And you know who the shoot that springs from the stump of Jesse is, don't you?" "Of course," I replied. "It's Jesus, descended from King David, Jesse's son." And that's when it struck me that the voice asking these questions did not sound at all like the one whom I had just been speaking with. So I stopped and turned around to see that she had already vacated the barn. "Who said that?" I asked. "Me, over here in the stall," that new voice said. Now, at first I thought there was someone in the stall among the horses cleaning the stables. But then I saw my horse Tess, her mouth moving, and I heard a voice coming from her saying, "Well, make sure you tell people who that little child is who shall lead them." For a minute I'd stood there absolutely speechless. I mean, what do you say to a talking horse, including one who knows the Bible? "Well, of course it's Jesus," I said, finally managing to speak. "Right. Your master and mine. And don't you ever forget," she said, "that we have the same master." And then she said, do you think those lions, wolves, and leopards are just dumb animals, as I've heard you call us four-leggeds? Well, I replied, what else might they be? Well, to us four-leggeds, she said, you two-leggeds can be the most frightening kinds of wolves and lions and leopards. Your very conduct and the way you carry yourselves looks predatory. And not just because you've got those eyes in the front of your face, not just because of the smell of the cheeseburger on your breath from lunch, not even because of the way you treat us sometimes. Think about the way you two-leggeds treat each other. Whenever someone leaves a radio on, we hear the news about Syria and Chicago. So I hope you appreciate that we ever let you on our backs and carry you around to begin with. And don't think it's because you're all so smart or because of those opposable thumbs. The love, the submission, the obedience we show you is every bit as miraculous and undeserved as the peace, the love, and the harmony that Isaiah foresaw. In fact, while you think that you are training us four-leggeds to live with you, actually our common master is using us to train you for the harmony that Isaiah foresaw. Now, seeing how stunned and speechless I was at this revelation, Tess then said, look, we accept that our common master has given you the task of representing him to us other creatures, giving us constructive work to do, and taking care of us. You've got that work part down all right, but you could use some improvement in the caring and nurture department. Both are what our master's mutual charge are about. Well, what would help? I asked. Well, too bad you can't do like our mutual master did and become one of us and be born in a stall, in a manger, like both of us were. Just don't let the fact that our master took your shape go to your head. It wasn't because you two-leggeds deserve that honor the most, but because you need it the most. How do you know all this? I asked. And Tess replied with a look of pride in her eyes. Oh, all of us animals remember with honor our part in the master's coming in our creaturely flesh. We're made of the same clay as you, you know. So his coming was for our sake as well as yours. And we don't come off all that badly in the gospel story, better than most of you two-leggeds. One of us carried the master into Jerusalem. And I honestly don't mind that it was a donkey instead of a horse. Then there were the sheep who also heard the song of the angels at the night of his birth. If some night you could break the spell of those glowing rectangles inside your houses and come out to the barn or the pastures with us and hang out, you just might experience a foretaste of the peace about which the angels sang. It's the same peace described in Isaiah 11. And after a moment of reflection, I asked, but when it says that a little child shall lead them, doesn't that show that us two-leggeds are still in charge? I suppose so, Tess replied. But it also shows that your leadership should be childlike, not childish, but like that of the child born at Bethlehem. Seeing that I wasn't getting that last part, Tess then said, you know, like the lady who gentled me after I was foaled. She never hid her childlike delight in me and showed it by just hanging out in the stall with me and my mother. She understood my youthful fear, so she waited to touch me until I came to her. Even before she ever put a halter on me, she held it out to me until I lost fear and then expressed interest in it. And then she gently stroked me with it. And all the time that she so gently and patiently attended me, gaining my confidence in one thing before she led to another, over time then I gained confidence in her love for me. Our common master came to us at Bethlehem with that same patience, love, and gentleness that my first trainer showed to me. And that's how the shoot from the stump of Jesse still treats you two-leggeds. And that's how a little child shall lead us. That's why he's also called the Lamb. So if you two-leggeds could use your smarts and your strengths and those gentle, childlike ways, then we can say the leopard and the lamb, the wolf and the goat are all living together at peace inside of you. Well, don't you notice any ways that I already treat you like that? I asked Tess. Tess said, yes, you have been generous with the carrots. I'll grant you that. I also like it when you share your apples with me. But why do you always have to have the first bite? I was trying to think of a polite way to explain that when Tess snorted in a way that seems to say, oh, whatever. And then she lowered her head into the pile of hay and started eating. Since then, Tess has only communicated with me in the usual hoarse ways, nonverbal ways, leaving me to wonder if I had confused a dream some night with real life, or had I taken another knock to the noggin. And I still wish I could come up with something new to say about Isaiah 11 and the wolf and the lamb thing. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming, and you can come back every Sunday. Love to have you. And bring Brooks with you. Anyway, we're going to stand and we're going to sing number 76 in the Green Book, and they're going to help us sing this blessing to each other. Number 76.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace.